The makers of the following podcast and other persons associated with the podcast do not endorse and or bear any liability for any content, statements, views, ideas or opinions expressed in this podcast by the individual participants, nor for any issue arising in connection therewith. The podcast may contain strong language and ideas or concepts that may or may not be suitable for young children. Listener's discretion is advised.
Break those norms.
Catch the music.
Drag queen, drag queen, drag queen, and then dragging, dragging, dragging.
For the one, the only.
हाँ मुझे drag करना है तो
थोड़ा traditional होना चाहिए.
हम सब performers हैं.
Waiting to blossom.
I use a word like drag artist.
That will create change.
Come and join me.
This beautiful thing which is called drag.
Yeah, that's drag for you.
Hello and welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to a story which we have been trying to tell, and we are trying our level best. The show is called In Drag. And today, we have one such beautiful, brilliant individual with us. I'm talking about a person who, by day, is a lawyer and also has celebrated the entire journey of drag. So it's going to be a fabulous conversation because I love the drag name that Ayushman chose, which is, of course, Lush Monsoon. So ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together and also please bring out your umbrellas because it's gonna be seriously raining today. Welcome to the show, Ayushman, aka Lush Monsoon.
Thank you so much, Sudhi. I'm so glad that I could be here.
Excellent. So yes. Lush, let's get on with the story which always obviously has a beginning. It would be nice for you to maybe share that with us. That when exactly did you feel that you wanted to start expressing yourself via drag? And did you even know that you were doing drag when you started it?
Of course not. So I grew up in a town called Ranchi. And growing up, like, you never thought that this is what drag is, you know. I was just attracted to things of beauty, things of glamour. Like, you know, like my mother's dupatta or like the sari she used to wear, the makeup that she used to do. At home, she would be like a housewife wearing a robe. And then she's also a principal. So when she used to go to school, she would don this very official attire. And suddenly she would become this woman of stature and power. And when she had to go to parties, she would also turn into this glamorous diva, so as to say.
Right.
So just to watch her transform from one avatar to the other, like, you know, that was very fascinating for me. So I would like, you know, want to try that. I would want to try on my mother's bangles, her jewelry, her makeup. And I think that's what, like, you know, started this drag ka keeda inside me, even though I didn't know that was drag that time.
How old were you?
I was very young. I was around four, five years old. I think, because, you know, I think as children, we haven't taken on the conditioning so much, what the society tells us how to be, how not to be. So we are very much attuned to our inner child, and our inner child just wants to play and, like, you know, just be happy and live. And I was very aware that I was different in that sense. I was aware of, like, my gender identity from a very young age, that I probably don't fit into what I have been shown. But yeah, I think children do have that knack of, like, you know, I think whenever I take my drag to children, I think children are much more receptive, and the questions which come up in adult minds, I think a lot of those questions are not there for kids. For them, it's much more easier to accept and just, like, live and laugh, and that's what, like, you know, drag is all about. Yeah.
So as we go along, we do of course have to encounter the societal filters and understanding.
Right.
What was it like for you to kind of overcome that?
As much as I was aware of my intention or, like, my, you know, the urge to seek that transformation or seek that beauty, I also was very aware of, like, what was happening to people who were different, actually. There were people in my class who were much more feminine and effeminate than I was. And they were bullied brutally, you know, like, on the playground, in the classroom, by everybody. And seeing that, I understood that, listen, like, you know, if you are out of the box, this is how you will be treated. I saw the fear in my own mother's eyes when she saw me exploring her jewelry and her makeup and stuff. She was scared of, like, who I was, to say. So immediately, like, it was the protective survival instinct in me was, like, to withdraw back and, you know, to kind of make a pact with myself that this is my secret and I'm not going to show this to the world. And it took me several years till I started doing drag again to find that again, you know, to allow myself to do those things again. So it has been a very, very long and difficult journey to just embrace what I had when I was a child. But every day I'm getting there, I would say.
Sure.
You cannot hide from yourself. You cannot hide from who
but
you are.
But you did that for
I
the
did
longest
that for
time.
Longest years. And just as I was about to graduate from law school, when we were talking, everybody was talking about placements and which law firm to join. Or like, you know, right. which high court advocate to intern with. I was having this very deep sadness and heaviness within. And I was like, what am I doing? And is this the way that I want to go? And it was a period of like where I took break. And it was one of like a very difficult phase in my life. Because for those few months, I was just trying to find myself until I had that kind of an epiphany where I was like, I must stop. I cannot go further like this. I cannot keep on being on the wheel. I need to get off, pause, and see what I want to do. And it was a big thing because, you know, I come from a middle-class family. So the expectations are like, ki haan, ab ye to bada hokar ki ab isne pakad liya, line pakad liya, basically. Now he'll just... Now he'll just join law school. Now he'll get off and become like some lawyer. He'll earn something. Life will be settled, or he'll become an IAS officer. He'll give civils because that's fair. Jharkhand and Bihar mein, that's what the expectation is.
Yes.
And it was very disappointing for my parents to see that I just said, I want to stop doing this and I want to start with theater. That's the closest to some art form that I could think of. And I joined a theater group. Basically, it was just me, like, you know, dying to express myself. And I was just finding an outlet. And but that's the problem that I, you know, came into, because no matter how good I was in my pronunciation, in the way I spoke the dialogues, it was like, you're not playing the role man enough. Like, aap pati ka role thik se nahi karo, because pati is supposed to be more damdar and more masculine, and you are not there yet. And obviously they would not cast me as a girl, because clearly not. So the theater ka bhi jo dunya hai, it was very gendered, at least where I was. It was very binary, and I was not fitting anywhere. So I could not see a future there, you know, like, because I would not be cast into anything. Thankfully, right then, I discovered drag, and like, I finally found a space where I feel like I truly belong.
And how were you, where were you performing it?
Pehle toh main, I was doing my own online videos. I used to like, I was participating in this online competition. Toh usme I just had to like make videos at home. So I would put all my theater knowledge. And then I heard about this club called Kitty Sue in Delhi.
Yeah.
And it was an LGBTQ club. Then they started hosting drag shows. First, they hosted an international drag queen, Violet Chachki. And then I realized, okay, there is potentially like a space here. So then I approached the people there, the people who were managing it, and then I found that, okay, I could perform there someday.
Nice.
So yeah, it's thanks to Keshav Suri who's started that whole thing. And yeah.
So Lush, do you feel, I mean, as a lawyer,
yeah,
for the longest amount of time, Section 377,
right,
तो एक अजीब सी घबराहट है या थी जब तक वो लागू था. दूसरा, the fact that uski wajah se, even if one wanted to support and all of that, but one couldn't do it openly. Do you feel that has changed since the change in the law?
You know, laws to redone ho jate hain, but like society has to change themselves. Like, you know,
isiliye
puchha, it's not the laws which tell your neighbors to bully you or something. The laws to hote hain, wo nahi hote hain. Kai logon ko pata bhi nahi hota hai 377 hai kya, but wo fir bhi wo karte hain because they still cannot tolerate you. But yes, like what you were saying, like maybe like corporate houses, people who would not host something earlier because they would feel, what if there's a police raid? Those avenues have started opening up. That fear has kind of like gone now. And so a lot of places which we would have never thought would like host a drag show or like, you know, be featured in magazines and talk about drag culture so much.
Sure.
All that has also happened. But it has also meant that, you know, you've become like kind of like a token. Like, you know, every Pride month you are waved around and then like, you know, you're back and hushed again. Because what we want is to, you know, drag to be like a proper art form where people actually come for the art.
Right. And how would you like to maybe express to people that they need to kind of get out of that so-called mindset?
See, I don't expect people to like come out of that mindset immediately, because see, it took me so much time to cross that, like, you know, Lakshman Rekha that society had drawn for me. The first time I went in, did my full first time makeover, like we got into drag, it was like an out of body experience for myself, because in that moment, you know, you suddenly, you see as if you're seeing yourself from like the other side, and you see how beautiful you are, you see your potential,
sure,
you know,
sure.
And you also realize, oh my God, like I've crossed that boundary now, which everybody had told me, do not cross this line, do whatever, but do not dress like a woman. And I did that. So if it was so difficult for me, even though I was so aware of myself for so long, there are people out there, it's not very easy for people to break those norms suddenly, you know. So I understand the difficulties they have with drag, but you know, that's what, like once you come to a drag show, I think all that kind of disappears, because the audience members, when they come to me and they express like, you know, what it,
yeah,
it means to them,
ask you that.
Yeah. So they're like the people, like young girls, young, like, you know, teenage, like, you know, like very young people who come to our shows, even older people, in fact, when they come to our shows, they feel, they say that, like, you know, they have never felt so free in a space when they are with us, you know, like it's a space of freedom. It's a space of liberation. It is kind of like an unsaid permission that they are given, that in this space, you can be who you want to be. That's it. And that itself is so powerful. Hum khud ghabrate hain usse, you know, like we are scared of like the possibilities that the world has for us. We are scared ki agar hame permission mil jaye to be what we want to be, then what will
aur
we
agar
be?
Hame acha lag jaye jo
exactly.
Hum ye kar rahe hain.
Agar hame acha lag jaye to hum kya ho jayenge? Matlab, what will we become?
Correct.
That is something that people are scared of, and yeah, that's why I say that you should do drag at least once in your lifetime, because you know, because it's so important. You want to like waste your entire life not exploring you know, what other sides do you have to yourself? Do you want to be caught? Like, you know, it's like an actor. Kisi actor ko bol deta hai ki aap isi role ko aapko zindagi bhar nibhana hai.
Correct.
Aap is kirdar se ab hat nahi sakte. Aapko jo baat bhi karni hai usi lehze mein karni hai. You have to just live, breathe this character. You'll go insane thinking about, you know, just think about it, right?
Sure.
Basically, that's all of us. Like, we're all caught in a role that was assigned to us. And few of us who choose to like break away from it and be like, okay, maybe this is not what I'm supposed to do. Maybe I can explore other roles as well. That is when the trouble comes, because then that is where the society police comes in and they are like, no, you cannot do that.
So Lush, how has your experience been with different cities?
My experience with city till now, touchwood, it's been different, you know. Like I expected, like when I was Ranchi, I used to like, you know, hear stories about like, you know, the road rage here and the men being very aggressive, and it's all true. It's all here. It's also very accommodating, you know, in the pockets that I live. Basically, it's a mix of like, you know, people from different countries who have come here. Like, you know,
sure.
It's easy to blend there sometimes, you know, because there's so much happening that you'll not be the odd one out sometimes, you know. Like I feel more, you know, the gaze more on me when I'm in a gated community, probably in Gurgaon, where like, you know, where you have to like to call the guard, and everybody's looking at you, everybody's scanning you constantly.
Sure.
Where I live, in the part of Delhi that I live, it's not so much. Like, you know, everybody out there has a story. I feel everybody out there is different, and so it's easier for me to blend. And also, like, I found my own ecosystem here. I found kindness here as well. I found people who would who will, like, you know, like make my drag for me, who will, you know, mass tailors who will, you know, sew the costumes for me, like people who will sell their things to me, and they know what I do. So
sure.
So like I have found my pocket here somewhere, and the audience here, it's very passionate, you know. The Delhi audience for drag is very, very loyal. They come to watch us every single time, like they show up, and they love us for what we do. That's they love us for what we do. And of course, there's a male gaze which is there, okay? That straight male gaze, it's there even in the clubs that we come. Because I perform drag not for, like, you know, the straight male gaze. But sometimes I do as well, you know? Sometimes I do that as well, because I like to confuse the people. I want you to, like, you know, be confused. Because when they see me on stage, they are just, you know, smitten. They are just like, oh my God, like, I am attracted to that person on stage. But I know, like, who I am. I know that it's just a mirage. It's just an illusion. And so they are confused themselves. And that confusion is what is going to solve the problem ultimately. The fact that they have that confusion leads them to actually, like, have that moment where they realize, okay, the boundaries and the fluidity and everything. So that's the general experience. There have been incidents where like somebody has come up to us and they'll be like, okay, what is this? Why are you doing that? That's in Chandigarh, actually, not in Delhi. That happened. Okay. There were people from Chandigarh who had come to Delhi and they were like, ki, ab Chandigarh aao, tabko batate hain hum, ye sab kya chal raha hai? This is not nice what you're doing. And I have performed in like the middle of central Connaught Place.
Okay.
And people have just gone. I was very scared. I was like, how are they organizing it in the middle of, it was an HIV awareness event. And I was like, so in the clubs, it's still better because it's like, you know, more limited audience. It's more protected. But in the middle of Connaught Place, I was there. And of course, people were looking, giving looks. But people were also coming and, you know, taking selfies with us.
Nice.
They were like not questioning. They were like, acha, please ek selfie aapke saath. Please ek selfie aapke saath. And that was nice to see that it was not all like, you know, threatening. Like I thought it would be, you know.
Yes.
Parents coming with their children and be like, isko, please, like, just take a photo with us. Like, when we've traveled in cabs, it's especially, like, the cab drivers, they are so fascinated and they're always like, you know, please, ma'am, ek selfie aapke saath ho jaye. So, like, even though I'm shit scared inside, I'm like, oh my God, I don't know what this cab person might say. I never know, like, what will their reaction be? Will they ask me to get off and what not? But,
sure.
So it's been a mix of both, but, like, I've kind of embraced the chaos of the city. Yeah.
There is finally a method to the madness.
Yeah.
But as far as lush monsoon is concerned, it is a very, very intriguing moniker that you found for yourself.
Yeah.
What was the reason that you were drawn to this particular moniker that you found?
Actually, it was like my friend and I, Ikshuku. And so he thought of this name for himself. He was one of these names he was considering, Lush, because my given name is Aishwarya Ayushman. So I always thought that Aishwarya is a perfectly fine name to use for a drag queen. I wouldn't have to change my name, you know. But then because this was pre-377, my other friend Arpita, she told me that, listen, if you're putting yourself out there as Aishwarya, it might land you into trouble if you put your, like, you know, official name out there. So why not use a moniker instead? And so I asked my friend, because like when I heard Lush, I was immediately drawn to it because, you know, I'm like a larger queen in that sense. I'm not the slender size zero models. So the idea of Lush gave me that fullness, that exuberance, that luxuriousness, you know, which I wanted my drag to be. And monsoon, because it's very quintessential to South Asia, you know, like monsoons are like our region's speciality and so am I. So for me, my drag, Lush Monsoon, is not just a character which is on stage. It is equally a part of me as much as Ayushman is. You know, it's another side of me, basically.
It's nice.
On a good day, you get to see Lush Monsoon. On another day, you get to see Ayushman. It's like the makeup comes off, but the persona remains inside.
Remains.
So it is me exploring my gender identity in different ways on stage. That's what I'm drawn to do, yeah. I love to play, like, I'm a shapeshifter, so I love to play characters. It could be like a male character, female character, whatever. But like my drag is very personal.
Sure.
It's my expression, as you said. And if I could express that on every day, I would probably might, you know. But the fact that I think that the stage is the only safe place for me to express that, you know. Right. So that's why I do it. That's all, yeah.
Of course, I'm pretty sure, do a weather update every time right before you're going to. As far as, you know, you doing a lot of work with children is concerned, I wanted to talk about that.
Yeah.
Because I think that is at a very formative level.
Yeah. The idea is just to present yourself as you are, and children imbibe those cues. They see, they understand a lot more than we think they do, right? You don't need to tell them into words, but even those visual clues that they get, like the fact that they see that somebody's hair is orange, or that somebody is wearing something very different, or somebody, like, you know, is clearly like a man but dressing up as a woman, they can see that.
Sure.
And that makes it okay for them to, like, you know, accept people in their own neighborhood, because I'm sure, like, there are trans kids also where they are studying. There are trans people out on the streets.
Yes.
It'll encourage them to, like, you know, accept other people who are different in their lives. Yeah, in any way. Not just in terms of what they wear or, like, look, but otherwise as well. So that's the idea of this thing. And of course, some parents are... In America, there is a whole, like, lobby which is completely against this because they feel drag is something which corrupts.
Yes.
See, it's not okay for children to be sexualized, period. Whether
that's
as a straight person, as a gay person, whatever. It's not okay for kids to be sexualized. drag for children, like the drag they do is like, you know, where, like when you dress up as an angel, that's drag for you. Like there is no definition of what drag is. It's not like when you wear skimpy clothes and you're doing drag. You know, you wear a tiara, you're doing drag. You wear a tutu, nice cute little tutu and like, you know, stockings, that is drag. Like it's whatever you want to be, you know. It's not always like a sexy, like, or an adult themed or sultry person that you become when you do drag.
Yeah, I dressed up as a sunflower.
Yeah, that's drag. Drag.
But I wanted to mention this aspect that you had talked about, which is a sisterhood, jo drag community ke andar hai. I would love for you to explain it.
See, basically drag brings the community together. And for us, like, you know, drag queens to find other drag queens, it's very special. The first time I found my other drag sister, Beta, and I was just like, you know, I found my like lost soul kind of in that sense, because I was like, there is nobody would understand how what passion for drag means, you know. Why is it so important for us to fight with our families to give up our careers just to put a dress on and a wig on? Who will be able to understand this urge? You know, like I have, like in my videos and all, like this is a question which comes up, like, and my friends have asked me this, like, you know, we understand everything, we understand your urge to express and everything, we've seen you be very artsy and cultural, but like ye ladki kyun banna hai, like ye dress hi kyun pehna hai, you know, you could have done theater, you could have done this. But if you find a group of people who, for them also, the same question. So they don't ask you this question, ki why as a girl? It's understood, you know, we understand each other. We have a group of like 5-6 queens that we have. And all of us, like, you know, for us, like, drag means coming together as a community. That's what we enjoy, getting ready together. You know, that kind of like, you know, takes away our loneliness. That takes away like this, you know, thing that we all felt as a child, ki hamare jaisa to koi nahi hai, but we found like 5-6 people who were with us. So that is a very strong thing, and that's the sisterhood of Delhi. It's family for us. It's our chosen family. And you only have to see it, just be with us to experience this sisterhood. It's crazy, but it's also very heartwarming.
Wonderful. So Lush, before I let you go, just want to ask you, where do you see the culture of drag moving forward, let's say, as far as our country is concerned?
I think I see good things. Of course, you can never predict because anything can happen. But like, yeah, I do see, because I see a lot more drag queens coming up. I see a lot more drag performers. I see a lot more, like, you know, people like accepting the lines being blurred. I see a lot of people being inspired to, you know, explore for themselves, like maybe not very drag thing, but explore gender for themselves, explore self-expression. And I think drag can do that.
So do you see drag going into a mainstream very soon?
I think so. I see it. I see,
nice.
see drag is always like been a niche thing in certain ways, so some part of it will always be niche, and I'm okay with that. It should not become mainstream, because then it takes away its power to kind of like, you know, show the society a mirror or to really change things. But it'll become a lot bigger than what it was. It'll become, I wish it becomes more accessible to people in the interiors of this country. So for mainstream, I mean that it becomes like every kid who wants to dip into this fabulous world, they should have the ability to. They should know that there is something like this which exists out there. Yeah.
Nice. Well, Lush, it has been genuinely, truly a fabulous conversation that one has had. I learned so much more.
Thank you, Siddhi, for having me.
And wishing you all the best.
Thank you.
Moving forward, and always Godspeed to you.
Thank you. Same to you.
So, well, people, we have come to an end of another episode of In Drag. But worry not, because here's a tiny peek at what's in the next episode with Kamsin Haseena.
For a lot of people, the woman is this hairless creature. We want to break that stereotype also, that hey, women also have hair all over the body, and we should not be telling them that, oh, you should shave your legs, you should shave your underarms. I mean, if men are not doing it, why don't we tell men to do that also?
This was a Turtle on a Hammock Films original podcast, hosted by Sudhi Sajdev, executive produced by Avinash Kumar Singh, produced by Geeta Singh, directed, mixed and engineered by Jigisha Patil. Art and publicity design by Pooja Ray. Guest recording studio, Rangayan Broad Q Studio, New Delhi. Sound recording copyright 2023 by Turtle on a Hammock Films LLP. All rights reserved.